You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
It's the Mixed Martial Arts Hour with...
Mixed Martial Arts Hour is back in your life on this Tuesday, May 16th, 2023. Hello again, everyone. I sure hope you're doing well. It is so great to be here with all of you on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon in New York City. And yes, I am not in studio right now. That is because, as I told you, I am off to Dublin in a matter of hours. But there is massive news going on in the world of fighting, in the world of mixed martial arts. It's a very, very, very big day. It's an important day. It's a breaking news-ish kind of day. And so we had to do a special Choo Choo Tuesday edition of the program. Now, we are live right now. So lest you think we are pre-taping this, lest you think that we are... we are running a premiere that isn't live. No, we are live. I see you, OC. I see you, Tech. I see you, Nova Primetime. I see you, Steven Dawson. I see you, Olajuwon Dream. We are live and in living color, and we are here for one reason and one reason only. I told you yesterday that we'd be doing a Tuesday show. I didn't tell you who would be on the show. That's because, you know, I was allowing the process to play out. But this morning at around 5 a.m., Eastern time, we got the news via the Professional Fighters League and via the New York Times that Francis Ngannou has signed with the PFL. His MMA home is now with the PFL. His boxing home is still TBD, but we now know the answer to the MMA side of the question, and that is he is headed to the PFL. In a matter of moments, we are going to be joined by the man himself, the most talked about person in combat sports right now, Le Predateur, the lineal heavyweight champion of the world. He is joining us live on this program in a matter of seconds. As always, we are presented by our good friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Please use the code MMA Hour when you sign up. Again, that's code the MMA Hour only at DraftKings. Thank you very much to Squarespace as well for their support. This is how the PFL broke the news earlier this morning. Check it out. No one has ever been in his position. Heavyweight champ walks away.
We don't know the end result. He could sign tomorrow for the most money anybody's ever signed for in fighting history.
Francis Ngannou is the lineal heavyweight champion of the world. And so we'll see what he does.
I chose the PFL out of everyone in order to change the game of MMA. For whoever feel ready, I'm the baddest motherfucker on the planet. I'll be fighting in the pay-per-view super fight division. It has always been my goal to control my own destiny. When somebody feels respect, you get the best out of the person. The reason why I signed with the PFL is because of their willing to develop the sport. Most importantly, in Africa, I stand for my people, for my community, I fight for them. And to get something like this to bring back home is like a huge accomplishment. Along with the PFL, now that I'm in the position to speak, to fight for those who doesn't have a voice, because at the end of the day, it's fighter first. Fighter is the one doing the sport. At the end of every accomplishment, there's another challenge. That's how you build your own legacy.
So there you have it. The deal gives Ngannou equity and leadership roles in the PFL. He's expected to fight in the promotion's Super Fight pay-per-view division next year, while hopefully competing in boxing this year. It's an MMA-only agreement. Like I said, the boxing deal hasn't been announced just yet, but also, which I'm sure we will find out is very important to him, he is going to become chairman of the newly launched PFL Africa and will serve on the company's advisory board to represent fighter interests. Without further ado, let us talk to Le Predateur himself, the pride of Cameroon and France, the one and only Francis Ngannou, joining us live right now from Las Vegas. Francis, félicitations. Thank you for joining us. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm doing fantastic. It's a beautiful day out there.
I can imagine. It's a very exciting and beautiful day. Could I ask, I was wondering about this, 5 a.m. the Eastern time, 2 a.m. Pacific time, the news is announced, New York Times, PFL. Are you awake when the news is announced? Like, you know it's coming, or did you stay up, or are you fast asleep while the entire world is talking about this?
I tried to sleep, but I couldn't sleep. I had a nap early in the evening because I was so tired. Then I couldn't sleep anymore. I set my alarm for 4 a.m. for the sports center stuff, but I couldn't sleep until then.
Yeah, I can understand. A very exciting day. How does it feel? Again, there were two avenues that we were all waiting on, right? The boxing announcement, the MMA announcement. The MMA announcement comes first. Now that this is out there and people are starting to realize, and we're going to go through everything, what you wanted, what you fought for, what was important to you. Now that the world knows at least one side of the equation, how does it feel knowing that the rest of the world knows what you knew for the last few months?
Oh, it feels pretty good. Not only because the rest of the world know, but because I get a pretty good deal for myself. I get what I wanted and even better. So couldn't expect anything more. So there's a huge relief after that. I feel like I finally take a breath, you know. So very, very good feeling.
You called it a pretty good deal. Is there anything that you wanted that you didn't get?
No, I mean, no, you can ask for the sky. I wanted reasonable things that I finally get them. And then I even get more. Like, there was some stuff on the table that I didn't even mention, like the PFL Africa being in the work for the past 2 years. I didn't even have to ask that. There was already have it, and I put it on the table. And now I'm like, damn, this is what we are talking about. And from the moment that on the first call, when I spoke with Peter Meary, which is the CEO of PFL, and then he mentioned this, and I'm like, yes. And what is that? Like, because I know that people will come with a lot of BS, like blah, 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 blah. Then he kind of explained to me, and then I'm like, what's your vision about that? Then he explained, and I was just listening, like, okay, make your show, but if you're joking, I'm going to cut you. But he seemed very serious, and I see the vision was, real. And I'm like, I think this is it. But I couldn't tell him right away that this is it. But just the vision of that, I'm like, okay, I'm 50% in already before we start the talk, before the first contract ever been sent out, the first proposal ever been sent out, I was already in, I was already enthusiastic with all the things that he's saying. And even the fighter advising board, you know, something that I asked for, they had it already. That was something that was already in the PFL, and people like Randy Couture is in that board. I would just be the first active fighter joining the fighter advising board, but the fighter advising board in the PFL been existing since a little while.
Okay, so again, we're going to go through the details, but I'm just curious, in January when we spoke, after the news came out that you were parting ways with the UFC, in the back of your mind, were you already leaning towards the PFL? Did you like what they were doing? Or was it really just wide open? Were you, you know, willing to talk to everyone, wanting to talk to everyone, and had no favorite at the time? Because, of course, we all remember the photo of your mother wearing the T-shirt. And so people have now gone back to that photo of her wearing the PFL T-shirt and thinking, like, oh, maybe you had your sights set on the PFL before we even knew that this was a possibility?
Well, I didn't have my sights set on the PFL, but, you know, as they said, mom knows best. So she, that was a sight. She was sending me a sight. I didn't hear. I didn't know. At that time, my mind wasn't even about it. So I didn't have my sight on the PFL until I spoke with P the first time. That was the moment that I started to favor the PFL from what they was bringing, putting on the table, which was their vision, their own vision. Wasn't even something that I didn't have to ask for. A lot of things that on this contract, I didn't even have to ask for. It was just a work in the process that they took me to work on it together.
And could you tell us, do you recall the first time you met Peter Murray?
He was Zoom call.
I know. But like, was it January, February? Like, how far back does the relationship with him go? Like, did he reach out to you the moment he became free?
It was in January. Okay. After I became a free agent, that's when we spoke. But I have seen him before. I have seen him before. I attempted one PFL fight in Florida a long time ago. I saw him there.
And in your perfect world, like back then in January, when you were thinking about how this would all play out, were you initially hoping to announce the boxing news first? Is that what you wanted? Because we find out with this deal that the boxing is probably going to come first, but were you hoping to announce the boxing news first? And if so, why didn't you announce the boxing news first?
Well, yes, I was hoping. You know, this is like a kind of like a Wild West to be out here and trying to figure things out. So things play out differently. The timing sometimes can be very differently. Sometimes stuff work out, but the timing has to be right. For example, this deal with PFL, I was set on this deal over 2 months ago. I look at this deal and then I'm like, okay, what do you want? I'm like, I think this is a great deal. You know, like, I think this is cool. I don't want to be greedy. This deal is cool. Then we were trying to figure out the, but obviously, like, okay, there's still maybe one or two things to talk about it, but I think this is a great deal. So, but the timing wasn't right for us to sign yet or to make it official. So we keep it there. Which we just recently signed. A lot of things is about timing.
Okay. And if you knew that this was going to be the deal 2 months ago, why did it take so long to announce it?
As I said, we were trying to figure some stuff out that wasn't work on the timing on my end. I didn't sign 2 months ago.
Got it.
So he wasn't signed. He wasn't signed.
Okay, and the reason I ask that is because, as you know, recently it seemed like a lot of public pressure was being put on you, like, what's taking so long? What's taking so long? What's happening here? Are you paying attention to that stuff? And if so, is that making you anxious to close the deal and to announce the deal?
No, that's my business. I don't care what people have been doing for. You know, first of all, this decision is a huge decision for myself, for my life. So I have to take everything in consideration. Before all those things being said, like, I left Cameroon on Friday, I think was the 27th. But by the time I had a call with P, and we have to meet here on Tuesday. And I had to even stop in LA to meet Chatri. But I had a meeting with P here on Tuesday, and I was ready to move.
Okay, so let us talk about the actual deal. Could you tell us, Francis, how many years is this deal for, or is it how many fights? Like, because I know they go by seasons. So is it for, you know, X amount of fights or X amount of years? And could you tell us, if possible, how many?
It's not about years. It's about fights. Let's just say It's not for many fights. I'll keep it that way. It's for multiple fight deal. But most importantly, what you have to understand here, this is a partnership strategy partnership. Like, for example, PFL Africa is not going to be something for two years. It's for life. Mm. You understand?
Right, right.
Like, yeah, do that is something that we're going to work on it, like, basically forever. So there is not a time limit on that. The amount of fight year doesn't really matter. We are already in the business. And then even if we have had a certain limitation of fight, that's easy to work on.
Okay. Is it more than two?
Close to two.
Okay. And that... Fair enough. You will not be a part of their tournament, right? You'll be strictly fighting under the pay-per-view super fight umbrella. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly. Any chance you fight, like, you know, they have a deal with ESPN. Is there any chance they put you on ESPN or is it just pay-per-view only?
I don't know. ESPN is not their U.S. distributor.
ESPN is their U.S. distributor on TV, and then, you know, they have ESPN Plus, this and that, and they've done one pay-per-view, but they could be on regular ESPN. And so I was wondering if there's any sort of situation where you would just be in front of millions of people on ESPN, the channel, not the pay-per-view platform. Or is it just pay-per-view?
No, I think it's just pay-per-view.
Okay. I saw the great video that you posted on your YouTube channel, which I urge everyone to check. It's the Francis Ngannou YouTube channel. And you talked about, don't worry about me. I have a great guarantee. Because the numbers have been thrown around a lot, because you were very honest about what you were getting in the UFC. Other promoters have talked about what they offered you. Is there any way you could tell us what or even close to what your guarantee is?
Other promoters have been talking about what they are offering me.
Yes, and I'm going to ask you about them in a minute.
No, that's a lot of BS. So don't mind that.
Okay, fair enough. Could you tell us like what range this guarantee number is?
You mean the numbers itself?
Yeah, if you're comfortable.
It's for myself. I get myself a pretty good guarantee, and guess what? They put even a guarantee for my opponent. And I think this is something that Chachi wants to leverage about it because I told him about this. They put my opponent is going to have a base salary of a guarantee of $2 million when he fights. So, and then that's just the guarantee, maybe the basic. So it depends if it's like you have a leverage to negotiate. He can negotiate and ask for more. That's his own, but he will be having a minimum of $2 million. And yes, we guarantee that. But as far as mine, I get a little more than that. Let's say that.
Okay. Pay-per-view points?
A little more than that.
Pay-per-view points, right?
Yeah.
Of course. So I'm happy that you mentioned that guarantee for the opponent because it seemed like it was being twisted into you trying to limit what your opponent was going to make. In reality, what you're telling us is that you have put in your contract that anyone that you fight is going to make a base of $2 million. You will not allow them, the promotion, to pay your opponent, whomever it is, less than $2 million. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I don't want to get in the fight that I'm going to fight someone that work his way to be in that position. Then they give me all the money, then just give him a little pennies, then they move home. Then I'm like, oh, I fight. No, I think that wasn't fair. I'm like, okay, if you are willing to pay this to me, but what else is on the table? Like what my opponent can get? Because if some guy getting in the ring with me, in the octagon with me today, he must be the guy, right? There's no question about that. He must be the guy. So we both are going to perform. He always needs to tango. And if you tango with someone, you have to take that in consideration, right? It's your partner, regardless of the fact that you are fighting, you are in the same side. And if I was in his shoes, I would have liked to be to get that opportunity.
You know, this is unprecedented, right? In the history of MMA, I've never heard anyone ask for something like this. Why was it so important for you to do this?
Because I didn't want to get me, if they give me a lot of money and then don't pay my opponent, I will feel like, oh, I came and I collect everything. You know, like sometimes in this business, what I have learned is that this is little weird, right? And they can cut somebody pay to pay you because that's what they want. That's you that they want. And I didn't want to have that feeling, even though he wasn't true. I didn't want to have that feeling that it's all about me. It's about fight and it's about fighters. And yes, let's make sure that the guy that I'm fighting is going to have his own money. He's going to have a proper training camp. He's going to afford a good training partner. He's going to afford anything that he needs to be at that level, you know? He was an easy work to do, basically, with PFL. I didn't even have to fight for it. They were just done, you know?
That is good to hear. So we've talked about around the number of fights. We've talked about that it's MMA exclusive. We talked about how much your opponent is going to make, at least the base, that you're getting guaranteed money, that you're getting pay-per-view points. The other thing that we've learned is that you get to pick your sponsors. Now, I just wanted to ask you about that because PFL has a uniform, but they also allow, to the best of my knowledge, two sponsors that you can go out and get yourself if you're a fighter. So it's not like the UFC deal where, you know, you wear a sponsor, you may get a cut of that, or you wear a sponsor, you don't get a cut of that. Or it's not like Bellator where you could just wear whatever you want. Could you tell us about your specific sponsorship deal? You can just put, can you put as many sponsors as you want? Can you,
I think,
is there an X amount? How much?
I think it's about two or three. Just as the same fighter, but and he also has to be approved according to like what the promotion sponsor are. So, which is exactly what I've been asking even at the UFC, you know. And the reason why that point was very important for me, because 2 years ago, just after the Stipe fight, we were having before Crypto.com announcement come up, we were in a close deal with another crypto company for over $1 million of contract. I'm talking about money that I'm not making fighting right at that time. And I lost that money just because they have a sponsor. But what do I have about that sponsor? Nothing. I just have to walk around with this logo on my shirt and didn't even have a say. So, and I've been asking about that, like, okay, this is not fair because that's the hurt. By the time I was negotiating, that still hurt. Like the deal was done. It was done. And just 1 week before, you see like over $1 million fly away like that. Mm. The money that you never had.
Okay, so the sponsorship thing is very important. Now, I want to ask you about the Fighter Advisory Board, which, if I'm being honest, I heard about at the beginning of PFL, but you don't hear much about it. And to me, when I think of an active fighter having a seat at the table on behalf of the fighters, this feels like the closest thing that we have seen to an actual union of sorts, because I've often said like the fighters don't have a seat at the table. There is no collective bargaining. There is no voice for the fighters, right? A company signs a deal, slap the logo here, slap the logo there. Oh, we're going to do a TV deal here. We're not going to give you a percentage. What exactly does it mean when you say you are now a part of the Fighter Advisory Board? Like, what kind of conversations are happening? What kind of voice do you have on this board?
Exactly the kind of conversation that we just spoke about, that like my opponent have to have a guarantee money. That's what's going to be happening. And then that's what you're going to be hearing about more often, you know, because that was the reason. That was like, I was speaking on that basically, kind of like a fighter advisor. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what's going to be happen. So fighter advisory board is a board that is there to advocate for fighters who doesn't have voice, who are not all there, although they are not in the table, but they are the one making the sport. Promotion doesn't make sport. Fighter makes sport. And people seem to forget that.
Would you like to see more active fighters on this board?
Of course. I wish so. I wish to see...
Is that possible?
...more fighters. I think it's possible. And I'm going to do my best. I'm going to be speaking out and even trying to engage some people to be part of it, because it's not me. It's not about me, you know. And the reason why I'm on this one is just because I was the one right there, and then they kind of like put it in the deal. But it's not really a position that I want. It's not like something that I really want to, like, okay, I want to take a front. I just wanted somebody there that I'm sure that, okay, this guy is fighting for fighters. Then I don't, that from there on, I don't care about the fighter. I don't care on being there or not. You know, it's not a job for me.
Okay. Chairman of PFL Africa. We know they just launched PFL Europe. We had heard that they want to expand to these other regions as well. What does that role entail for you? What will you be asked to do as chairman of PFL Africa?
First, I think that's the most exciting part of this deal for me. This is the big part of this contract, the PFL Africa type, because that get me excited more than anything else. And then, being a chairman is just like, I will be honoring and then like help to build PFL in Africa. Since I have been working on sport in Africa, on MMA in Africa, in Cameroon for about 5 years now. I have a foundation that do the same work. And now we recently, 1 year and a half ago, we have a partner that's that to help us to build gyms, and then we almost finished our gym, which is a massive gym with a 5,500 seat attendant on the second floor to do like small events for fighters to improve their skill and have experience. From there, I'm like, it's good if we have more partner that will help, because me myself, I can't do anything. But now with the PFL vision about this, also with what I have been working on to help MMA in Africa, it was easier for us to partner, because I have already have a vision and even a project that I have built for MMA in Africa. So we just joined, we shared that, and I just overlooked everything. They will keep the operation, everything that is like operation, but I will overlook.
Do you have any idea when the first PFL Africa event might happen?
We talk about that quite a while. We talk about that a lot, and we were talking about, like, I was pushing for next year, 2024, and then they make up some good point, because we have to go there and push fighters and in those small promotion to have good training and good experience. So we're gonna provide them resource to bring up their level. At the same time, it's gonna also help us to set up the company there, because it's an African company. We're gonna set everything there. We're gonna announce. We're going to build everything there, find a venue, and do all the logistic work. So they said we are looking at the beginning of 2025. But even though I agree with them, I'm still pushing for 2024.
For you personally, would you like the first PFL Africa event to be in Cameroon, considering that's where you're from, and I would imagine that means the most to you, or does it not, you know? If it's not Cameroon, it's okay, as long as it's in Africa.
Okay, so this is the thing. I'm Cameroonian, and I will always fight for Cameroon. But here I stand as African, and I will take the decision that is good for the continent, that not something personal, because, it's Cameroon. If it has to be in Nigeria, it's going to be in Nigeria. If it has to be in Congo, it's going to be in Congo, as long as we together think that is the best decision to be made. Yes, I have my pride as Cameroonian, but here we are on a mission that is bigger than just being a Cameroonian.
So I've seen a lot of positive feedback today about this deal, because it seems like people recognize that you're getting the things that you want. You told us back in January, you want respect, you want freedom, you want dignity, you want to grow the sport in Africa. It seems like you got all these things. The only kind of negative that I've seen really so far, and I want to ask you about it, is, yes, this is great, but it sounds like he's not going to fight until 2024. We want to see him fight earlier, because of course, the last time we saw you was in January of 2022. Why is it that it doesn't seem like you will fight for PFL this year, that it will be next year, 24?
First of all, it's my life. I will lead it on my way. If you're happy, good. If you're not, oh no, I'm sorry. First of all. Secondly, as I said, this deal is exclusive MMA. And also, we will need, PFL will also need time to find a opening for me to build up the opening, right? Because I'm not going next month to fight, right? And also, there is the boxing component that is still in consideration. We don't have an announcement yet, but as I said, there's a lot of timing in this. We can have a big fight or not, or just a tune-up fight sometime soon. And that's what I'm hoping, to have a boxing fight before fight in PFL. So that's also one of the reasons why 2024 is the best fit.
So in a perfect world,
everything
for you,
has to happen. Tyson Fury is out there. Deontay Wilder is still out there. I don't know about Anthony Joshua. All those guys are still out there. And there is an opportunity as well. There's a possibility as well to take a tune-up fight, you know, to get there and have a feeling about it once before the big fight, whenever it comes.
So the perfect world for you is you fight in boxing this year and then MMA 24, right? You want to fight this year. It would just be boxing first, right?
Yes.
Could you tell us, are you close to making a decision which route you'll go in boxing? Opponent, promoter, promotion, platform? Is there anything close right now?
No, I'm not close, because I'm close, yes and no. You know, here sometimes you're close to something and then you switch overnight and then you have to move back. We were very close with Deontay Wilder at some point. And then I think he got an offer to fight for the title or something like that. Then he pulled off the table, which is understandable. But he's still okay to do this fight. But he has to be after the other one that is important for his career or something, right? So we will see. As we are speaking, by next week, we can come up with some news
sure.
By next month or in 2-3 months. So, but it's a work in the process. We are out there working. My team is working.
The one that made all the buzz, and the one that I think is still there, is the Tyson Fury one. You were in the ring with him after Dillian White, and it seemed like he was the one that was bringing you over and talking about having this special fight with you, all this stuff. And then it seemed like all of a sudden he kind of forgot about it. And then it seemed like he was going to fight Usyk. And then it seemed like the Usyk fight died. It feels to me like there's an opportunity to potentially revive that. Do you feel the same way?
There's an opportunity. There are opportunities out there. And the Tyson Fury have always been one. Obviously, at some point, we couldn't move because of the Usyk fight, that they were going back and forth. And then there's an opportunity with that. Okay. And I think it's still in the line, it's still the top of the list to fight Tyson Fury. And that can still happen.
Would you say Tyson Fury is like the number one, like in a perfect world, that's the guy right off the bat, or do you have a different vision?
Tyson Fury and I, we've been going back and forth for the past 3 years. So I think And for the past 3 years, we have been building this. So yes, I would say, yeah, if I have to put somebody in the top of the list, I would say Tyson Fury. Yeah, it's hard because they are very close. Deontay Wilder as well, Anthony Joshua. But the problem is that we have more conversation with Deontay and his team. But everything is possible. So there is an opportunity.
When Jake Paul signed with PFL, he offered Nathan Diaz a deal where they would fight once in MMA and then once in boxing. I feel like now that you're with PFL, maybe a potential opportunity to offer the same to Tyson, one MMA fight, one boxing fight. Would you be interested in that?
That's what he's been asking, right? I'm very interested in that. We do the boxing match first, then he gets some training. I'm waiting him in the octagon, in the smart cage.
In the smart cage, yeah. That's right.
It will be crazy in the PFS smart cage with those gloves. That would be dope.
Okay. Could I ask, ultimately you went with PFL for MMA. Was it down to PFL and someone else as far as MMA is concerned? Were you weighing two or three options?
As I said, since the one that I spoke to P, and he was clear that I was 50% in.
Okay. So the reason I asked that is because I want to go through some comments that some people made. David Feldman, the founder of BKFC, was kind of the first one that came out and said, you're asking for too much. And, you know, if you don't jump on something quickly, you know, you're going to lose some of your momentum, some of your leverage. When you heard those comments from him, what did you think? Because I think people started to hear these comments, and I'm going to get to Chatri in a moment, and they're like, oh, look at Francis fumbling the bag, not considering that perhaps maybe you weren't interested in going to them. But because they were coming out first, they were doing the whole like, X this one, X that one. So first, the comments from David Feldman. Did you ever seriously consider BKFC? And if yes or no, what did you then make of his comments when he talked about how you were handling your situation?
I just think he assumed that I'm so expensive, obviously, because he has to take a loan of his house to put on the show. Then I think he assumed that loan couldn't pay me because I never spoke to him. My team never spoke to him. And then when I saw his comment, I'm like, where is this guy coming from? Then I checked my phone. I called my team. I'm like, do somebody talk with this guy that I'm not aware of? And everyone checked his message. I'm like, bro, we just saw this and they are checking. I'm like, no, we haven't talked to this guy. So I don't know where he came from. So that's even why I didn't talk about it. I'm like, this guy is just a joke. But, you know, and at some point, he was promoting his show, his event. Yeah, he's going to do anything, take a little bit of PR here and there, everything that he can do. But I never talked to that guy. We never asked him anything. And he never even reached out, not to say we weren't interested. We weren't, but he never even reached out. So he didn't know if yes or not we were interested.
Okay.
So that's
two sides to every story.
That's what I say, like some promoter out there, hey, bro, two faces, crazy stuff.
A few weeks ago, I had Chatri Sichotong, the founder of One Championship, in studio. He said, I'm meeting with Francis on Saturday in LA. I feel like we are close. And I think that we can offer him the best deal. The meeting happens Sunday night. Monday morning, I wake up to a message from Chatri saying that, you know, we're out of the Francis sweepstakes. We couldn't come to terms on, you know, the non-financial terms. Then it comes out, he said that you wanted to be on their board, that you wanted to control how much your opponent made, all this stuff. When you heard what Chatri said after the fact, what did you think?
Well, I think he's just being Chatri. I've heard about it, but I have to feel on my own, you know. I think Chatri was just performing. First of all, he has a meeting and he has to go on the show to announce the meeting. Everybody that I have had a meeting with, I had meeting with PFSO many times, and you never heard of. I haven't signed with PFA, and you never heard of. But you have a guy that we are going to talk. And before then, he knew, I have told him and Matt Humes, that I get a best offer from PFA and this, and I don't think this is not, we are not, I'm not going to do any negotiation with you guys. And that was like back, like 6 weeks before that. And I'm like, oh, I can fly you to my show in Singapore. I can fly to Cameroon. I can this. And he was all in me. Like, I'm like, bro, this is too much. I don't know how to handle this. Like, how are you going to fly to Cameroon? What for? I just tell the guy the situation. And then he keep pushing. And then I send it to my team. Like, bro, I can handle this pressure from Chatri. Then he keep pushing. And like, yes, I'm going to be in LA. Then they were like, yes, Francis is coming. So I have to see him for respect. You know, we had a talk. I respect the guy. Matter of fact, I love Chatri. Before this drama, I'm like, oh, I like this guy. I like his story. Now I even doubt, I've even questioned if that story is true. But I used to love that story. So we met in LA, and I was just like, and upfront before anything starts, I'm like, listen, this is the thing. I have told you this. I'm favoring PFM right now. And he was like, then why do you get me here? I'm like, so listen, first of all, I respect you. And even if I sign with PFA and someday come that you say, I want to meet you, Francis, you didn't say we are come. You want to meet me on the business because you were on with my team talking on in business. And then you say you want to meet me. So sounds like it's not business anymore, right? So then he started to put like all this stuff, like started showing me all those screenshots. Like, I think he showed me like 13 screenshots, all the statistics, how 1FC is the second more view sport in the sport. He has more view on YouTube than Premier League, than NFL, than NBA. I'm like, damn, whoa. And he has a lot of those. I'm like, hold on a minute. Like, anyway, that was the whole meeting. And at some point, I really like, okay, he's good. I respect this guy and I take this meeting. I don't want to be rude. But I mean, I was just coming out of a 11 hours flight and have another flight to take to go back home. So I thought he would be like 1 hour or something, or 1 hour each. Find myself over 2 hours. I have to drink like 3 or 4 cup of coffee over there, listening to like all those statistics, how 1FC is in Asia. Asia is 4.6 billion people. They're going to do this. The data, they show that. Show me on 1FC, are going to explode. Are going to be like Nelson Mandela. Hey, bro. He was a hell of a performance. By the way, I applaud Chatri for his performance.
When you left the meeting, did you consider it at all, or did he change your mind at all when you left the meeting, or
consider what? I didn't talk to him about business.
It was just about
Chatri all this time.
Oh,
I told him about what okay, this is my position. I come here to listen. I don't know what you have to say. And here I'm like, yes, I can send this number to you. I'm like, I send it to Markel already. I'm like, okay. If you send to Markel, then it's enough. You don't need to send it to me. Markel handled all that. So, and then he didn't send it to me. I didn't engage into like, oh, I want this, I want that. I didn't have any engagement. I mean, I'm sitting on the table and tell him that, okay, I'm going with this guy. So I have no reason to even ask him something. And here I'm like, why so much? Like, what can I do? What PFA is giving you that you can't change your mind? Then I'm like, they are giving me so many things. They are giving me PFA Africa. and this. And I'm like, no, yes, we can do, as I tell you, we can do road to one. We have road to one from this road to one. I'm like, no, bro, I'm saying PFA Africa. I'm not saying road to PFA. It's different, completely different. And then this, yeah, the structure is there. They have like a fighter advising board that I think he misunderstood at that point. He didn't really understand because I said this was there already. I'm not even the one asking for it. The fighter advising board exists in the PFL already. I say they have this, they have that. They are even offering a guarantee for me. And I'm like, we have a biggest platform. We can put you in our platform if you want to fight any type of combat sport, whether it's MMA, boxing, kickboxing. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, where do you come from with kickboxing? Like, we do the WBC back in 2018. We get this guy from Thailand, fight at home. I'm like, I think that was one thing that I have to call him out of. I'm like, yes, no disrespect, but I don't think my boxing career has to be put in that level. You kind of like diminish my boxing career. That was one thing that I'm like, okay, Chachi, I think that was like kind of like the enough is enough type of things, you know? And but I tried to stay. I mean, I was respectful. Not like I was respectful. You have a guy that you admire, and he was talking. Even though you weren't in, you were listening, right? I listened to him and I gave the time. I was just checking on my watch, make sure that I will not be late in my flight because I still have 1 hour to get to the airport. And then we talk nice and get off the phone. And then next day, it was Andrew sent me a screenshot of Chatrin saying, oh, ONE FC decided to withdraw their offers. And I'm like, hold on, which offer are you talking about? The offer wasn't taken in consideration. You don't withdraw an offer that they haven't taken, right? And say, yes, no financial related or something, but I didn't just feel the energy. I'm like, really? You sit there, speak for 3 hours, and you didn't feel energy. You could have cut that meeting at any time. And but I just knew that was a PR move. So what I did, I checked on our message, the message that we had, and see if he deleted the message. And then, first of all, I record all the message, like, okay, Chatry is up to something. This is like a Chatry move right now. And obviously, I found one message missing afterward, but I record all the message to like, okay, let's do what you're about to do. I'll watch. But I know that at the end of the day, I'm going to come out and I'm going to call him out. If he do something in that regard, right, if he lie, I'm going to cut him out along the way. And that's why, like, then the next day I start seeing on social, and he was like, yes. Then he switched on his own. Instead of like, yes, we withdraw. And then here I'm like, he went to from we withdraw to like, no, Francis was asking for too much. How do you withdraw a deal that somebody was asking too much, right? So you were, technically, that was two things. Which one is it, Chatri? Which one is the truth? Choose one. But it can be both together, right? Anyway, I saw that and I'm like, oh, this guy is a performer. That's when I put this tweet out, like, some promoter out there, man, they are two-faced. But at least for Chatri, I have to speak. I spoke with him. I can't deny that. I spoke with him. I met him in person. We exchanged on text message. But this guy, David Fairman or whatever is it, I don't know that guy, to be honest.
By the way, the message that Chatri deleted, do you remember what it was?
Yes. It was like when I checked on it and looked on the timing, the date, and it was the message that I knew. He was like, yes, I can fly to Cameroon. It was the I can fly to Cameroon part.
Okay. Yeah.
I have all his message. I'm like, this guy, like, because when I went back and look at the message, I'm like, okay, something. But, you know, they have told me about Chatri. Like, oh, is this? I'm like, no, I can't judge a man by people opinion. I respect the guy, and they can all get wrong about somebody sometime. But he was just chattering.
He said in the media that the deal was for a guaranteed of a minimum of $20 million for two fights. Did you ever even hear that number?
Markel and Andrew, they told me about something that he was putting. But as I said, and listen, one of the things that was in Chatri deal, that he was showing off, like, okay, this is what I have. Like, we have money, kind of type of thing. I'm like, listen, this is way more about money. You have to take consideration about some stuff, right? And we didn't talk about money. I didn't ask him anything. I listened to this guy talk. The only thing that we spoke about was like, oh, you know, introduction, talk about family, talk about fun stuff before get step into it. But I didn't talk anything about it. And I didn't say, this is I want this. I didn't say like, oh, I could have this, because obviously, like, if you're engaging with somebody in the negotiation, even if it's a good deal, you will still like, yes, but this, I mean, you get a leverage. If that's an offer, you get a leverage of negotiation. I didn't initiate anything. I didn't want to give him that hope. So he left the table, like, knowing that nothing is happening. Like, I couldn't try anything. Because at some point, it was like, what can I do to make you change your mind? I'm like, I don't know. It's, you know. So I think he felt really bad about it.
This explains the board of directors and all that. You had told him, it seems, that this is what they were offering you, and he comes back and, I guess, interpret it as, oh, he's asking for this, 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 and that, and I can't give him that. And so as I said, you know,
I didn't ask him
VR
for
move.
Anything.
Okay.
I didn't ask him for anything.
The one that I thought was really interesting that was quiet throughout this whole process was Bellator. Did you or your team ever talk to Bellator about a potential deal?
Yes, I met, we talked to them, and they clearly, and they were very professional. They say at this stage, we are not in the position to initiate the offer. We wish you good luck and this. So they never made an offer, and they never made any big, you know, of it. So we never have a negotiation.
When you're sitting back and watching this whole situation play out, and not, you know, I saw the video that you posted on Saturday as the teaser, and, you know, there's the clip of Connor talking about it on our show, and I believe Chael as well, and other fighters have weighed in on this. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Daniel Cormier said, you know, bite the bullet and go back to the UFC. When you saw some of your fellow fighters, a lot of them not waiting to see how the situation played out, to see what the end game was. It's one thing for the media, the fans to say it, but fellow fighters, how did that make you feel?
Well, you have to understand. It's just, you have to understand that I'm where I am now for one reason. I was the only one to be able to do what other fighters cannot do. You know, basically for fighters that have a long-time career. So obviously, I am misunderstood by them. They don't understand what I'm doing. That's obvious. You can't even ask that. I mean, some people, as I said, and I'm saying this true, like, some people might be waiting for you to lose. And but all I can say is that I'm sorry for them. I only have a tissue for them to wipe their tears because I'm winning.
Do you feel that way?
If
do you feel like
needs,
a lot of people?
If somebody needs yes. a tissue.
Do you feel like a lot of people are rooting for you to lose?
Some are. Some don't just understand the situation. Some also want you because like when there is a news, something like that, someone, your side, your, and if since they don't have your own your reaction instantly, and then the only thing that they have is what is out there, and they take it in consideration. But that always lasts a very short period of time until you set up, you reset the scale.
On the flip side, do you get support from a lot of your fighters? Maybe not publicly, but are you feeling support and love? Is it more private than public?
It's more private. It's been more private since the beginning.
Yes.
Since the beginning, I've been having support from some fighter, but it's more private. And I understand that because at the end of the day, I wish everybody to do what's good for him, what he think is good for him. That's his choice. And yes, to provide for his family.
Can I ask you about something I talked to Chael Sonnen about last week? We were talking about Nathan Diaz. His situation, somewhat similar to yours, he fought out his contract. He went and is doing something else, right? Nathan Diaz was at a UFC event recently, and they showed him on the screen, and they celebrated him, and they said the door is always open. Why is it that it feels like you would not get the same reception? Why is it that Dana White said recently, you know, the door is closed, you will never fight again in the UFC? Why does it seem so contentious towards you and not towards him, when in reality, it kind of feels like the two of you did the exact same thing?
I think the person to answer that question best is Dana White. But listen, we have a long relationship. I respect that. I respect what UFC have done for me. I appreciate them. I move forward with my life. We had a contract. I fulfilled the contract. We couldn't agree on another one. Then I go on my side. They should be able to go on their own side without a bad blood. I don't have anything personal. I'm just doing business work, and I'm obligated to do what is good for me. You understand? Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if what is good for me is bad for somebody, as long as I don't personally hurt you. I mean, fairly, I'm just doing what is good for me. The rest, I don't care. Do I look like someone that, why should I be upset? Why should I be, everything has been playing out very well for me. So I'm good, man.
Has the door closed in your mind too? Like, are you saying like, you may have closed the door, but I closed it long. Like, do you feel the same way, or are you not that type of person?
In the fact that, I didn't just like the way that things plays out. And I met with, before my last fight, when I fought Sirigan, I met with Dana in Delia, a restaurant out of a Wynn. And then I went to him, we spoke. I'm like, yes. And I said, I appreciate everything that you done for me. I appreciate all the help. But at this point, I feel like I don't belong anymore. I feel like I'm not in the promotion. I'm in a fight in the promotion, and I don't know exactly how come I get to a fight with the promotion. He was telling me, and he was like, yes, we want you here. We want you here. I think you have to change your team or something. And now I'm like, no. I feel like I've been in the promotion lately without a promoter. I don't have a promoter anymore. And I said this to Dana. Like, I don't feel like I belong. And you know, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, have you ever want to come to a event and you don't get ticket? Or have you ever want to go to the PI and couldn't access? And for a moment, I thought about it. I'm like, man, this guy is so good. Like, look how he switched the situation. So what I'm working, I will be working my whole life to have access for event and the PI. So kind of, anyway. But personally, and I have to talk to him like man to man, I'm like, I'm cool, right? I'm not just happy of how our business is going. That's all. So
okay, and you mentioned him saying that you need to change your team, and you mentioned Markel Martin, who has been your manager for a long time. But you told us in January that you were kind of going to do things on your own. But I know that he has helped you and guided you and been a consultant throughout this process. So what could you say about the way it was all handled from a kind of managerial perspective? Because I think that's the thing that, you know, when Dana puts it out there, people parrot that and say like, oh, you don't have the right people behind you. You need to change your team. Are you happy with your situation now from a kind of business managerial perspective? Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. First, the reason why I wasn't working with Marquez as a manager, it was when CAA, because Marquez was our CAA. So Marquez was a manager out of CAA, and then CAA, they diluted their combat sport division. Then I started to reset things. Marquez created a company with his friend, Andrew. Then, I mean, I love the guy. We've been, he's been around helping, and we have a good relationship. He always have my back. And I'm like, okay, if you need somebody in your team, he's a guy that you know that has your back. You know, I can sleep without worry. And he's the man. And I think at that time, the reason why Markel was getting all those hate was because he was CAA. He was speaking on behalf of CAA. And for somehow, I feel like there is a bad blood between CAA and them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But so now he's back to being, would it be fair to say he's your manager?
Yeah.
Okay. That answers a big question, because a lot of people are wondering how you were navigating all of this. And so you're back with Markel, and it seems to have worked out very nicely for you. It's working out very nicely, by the way, for...
He always worked out very nicely.
Great. I'm happy to hear that.
All this time.
Yesterday on the show, I spoke to a young man who calls himself Le Meilleur, the best in French, Cédric Doumbé. What a character this guy is. I think he wanted to break the news, if I'm being honest. He has also signed with PFL, and he's going to debut in June. He is also from Cameroon, now living in France. He seems very excited about being in the PFL. A huge fan base he has. What, if anything, do you know about Cédric Doumbé? Do you have a relationship with him?
No, I don't have a relationship, personal relationship with Cédric Doumbé. I met him, I think that was 6 years ago in Paris, in the gym, a couple of times, twice, I think. But I know him. I know him as a, even when he was fighting kickboxing, even before that, I know him already from his K1 Glory.
Glory, Glory, yep. Yep, yeah. Okay. But that's someone who, you know, could be a huge part of the PFL Africa plans as well, because he's so popular also in Europe too. And I'm going to wrap this up in a moment. Thank you so much for the time. Could I also ask, is there anyone in the heavyweight division in PFL right now that is of interest to you? Are you familiar with any of the names there, or is it possible that it will be someone outside? I saw Fabricio Werdum calling you out. Is it possible that it's going to be someone from outside of PFL who you'll make your debut against?
At this point, everything is possible. And all the guy in the PFL right now, even the champion, like one thing that is clear is that we're going to see how the season go. That's one thing. And I don't know, maybe the opponent will be coming outside, but that's the PFL work. It's not mine. I'm not a matchmaker. I'm just a fighter.
Okay. It would be interesting if they say the winner of the heavyweight tournament gets $1 million and then gets to fight you, you know, for a minimum of two, like that would, you're the ultimate prize at the end, right? You're the lineal heavyweight champion of the world. You're the baddest man on the planet. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would make the tournament even bigger, right?
Yes, for sure. No.
Is that being discussed or not
that's
yet?
Like, that's being discussed. That's the option, obviously.
Okay.
That's an option.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have of the people available? Do you have a dream fight out there right now of the people who are not in the UFC that you could potentially fight? Is there someone out there that you would love to fight?
No, yet. people out of the UFC? No, not yet.
Okay.
There are not so many free agents.
There are not so many. Yeah, but that could change by the time you fight, right?
That could change. So that's what we have some time for that.
Yes. And if you were to predict what month or so, what time frame do you think you'll make your debut for PFL? What do you think? April, March, May, next? What are you thinking? January,
maybe
February?
Maybe February, okay. Or March. Yeah.
I like that.
That would be my prediction.
Okay. Do you feel, Francis, like we haven't addressed something? Is there something else that you would like to get off your chest now live on the program? You've been very gracious with your time, as always, with us. But I just wanted to know if there was something that you wanted to talk about or address. It's been a long road to get to this point, and there's still a little more work to do, right? There's the boxing component, which I know means a lot to you. But up till now, yeah. Is there something that we didn't address?
No, we didn't. I think we did. We went to everything. And I can't remember. I can't think really straight. I didn't sleep too much tonight.
No, I know. You did a great job for someone who didn't sleep a lot.
I have a back-to-back interview, by the way. Someone is waiting me. But we did everything.
Geez, I'm sorry. I didn't know someone was waiting. I don't like to be rude to them. I apologize.
No worries. But, you know, as I said, I wanted to say I thank the UFC for the opportunity for the 7 years career. And I also thank you to PFL for this new opportunity, not only for me, but for the opportunity that we're bringing it back in the continent and to all our fans, the real fans that been following and support, or the real media, because some media, I don't know, but I do thank everyone. So... yes, it's been great. It's been a good stuff to work on.
Very exciting time. And I saw a nice little video there from Jake Paul, who's also with the PFL. He was very excited about you joining. And then the next tweet he said, and now I found out that Francis picked me to lose against Nathan Diaz, but that's why I respect him, because he keeps it real. So perhaps there's some business
to be
had.
I've been realistic. I mean, Jake Paul make his... he made his statement as a boxer, because at first he was just a YouTuber. I think now he's a boxer. But I know Nate, but if I have to think realistically, attempts to go to Nate more, because he's a tough motherfucker.
He is. And, as are you, my friend. As are you. And I like the way you ended your video on your YouTube channel.
They're gonna have a good fight though. It's gonna be a fun fight, and I can't wait to see that. But and if Nate win, then I'm all in, right? One step away, one proof. I'm all in.
Right.
Yeah.
I like the way you ended your video on your YouTube channel. You're still the baddest mofo on the planet, the lineal heavyweight champion, and now the newest member of the Professional Fighters League. Thank you so much for the time, Francis. Really appreciate it. And again, congratulations on this big deal.
Thank you, Ariel. Thank you to everyone listening.
Okay, there he is. Le Predateur, Francis Ngannou, joining us live on this special Tuesday edition of the program. Appreciate everyone who is watching live. And we will react to that interview, which I thought was supremely interesting and really appreciated. I didn't know that there was someone waiting. I would have wrapped it up sooner. I had no idea. Let's see. Did I get the rap sign from anyone? No, no rap sign. All good there. And GC and New York Rick are going to join us. New York Rick featured heavily in the announcement video, so we got to get his thoughts on what just transpired and what was said moments ago by one Francis Ngannou. So stay tuned for that. We'll go another 20 or so minute here on the special Tuesday edition of the program. But first, a quick word from our good...
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place.
to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Friends over at, please support them because they support us. All right. So the Francis Ngannou interview has come and gone. Time now to get some reaction from the boys. Mr. GC, who's in New York City. Mr. New York Rick, featured heavily in the promo. I mean, as far as like the big moments in your career in New York, Rick, where does that one? I mean, you go on this snazzy promo, the guy's driving a Bentley, for goodness sakes, and it's your voice.
It's a fantastic clip, too. I mean, it's almost like you curated it for the video, Rick.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Listen, you know, I may have put in a good word to get that placement, and they abided. It caught me off guard. I'll be honest, hearing my own voice when I clicked that because I didn't expect that. Yeah, cool. Very cool. But I mean, more than anything, you know, let's talk Ngannou. Let's talk Mr.
Okay, so Francis, your thoughts, Eric Rick. I'll go to you first. We've been talking about this for quite some time. I mean, even dating back to prior to January, like this was the story of the year. It's really been since he says 3 years, like I would say, like it really started to heat up leading up to the Ciryl Gane fight when we knew that he was going to play out the deal, right? And so now here we are with one half of the picture painted, if you will, right? It's the MMA component. Yep. Done. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Your thoughts on the deal, the points of the deal, and what he said in the interview. I mean, there's a lot of different directions here. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things to think about. I've always thought, and I've said this on our show, I've always thought that he should have signed the MMA deal first. I know the boxing in terms of the timeline of what he wanted to do and actually enter the ring, the arena to compete in, was boxing first. But I've always thought this boxing foray is going to be a risky proposition, right? It's not his primary sport, as much as he wants to be a boxer and loves boxing. And that's not to say he's not going to have success in that realm, but it's risky, right? MMA is his bread and butter. MMA is where he's made his money to this point. I've always thought he should find the MMA home, solidify that, and then go chase the boxing fight, which is, you know, coincidentally how it ended up. I'm not sure if that's how he intended it to end up. It seems like he's been trying to work on boxing things for a long time. So that might be more a timing thing than an intentional strategy part. But I've always thought that this was the safest route, right? Now he's got his MMA home locked up. There's no more conversation about like, did he make a mistake leaving UFC? Is he going to find an MMA home? All these people are talking about it. That part's sewn up, and now he can focus solely on, do I take a fight against a lesser opponent? Do I take a fight against a big name boxer like a Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder? Are they even interested in boxing me? Now he can solely focus on that. As far as the deal itself, I mean, how could this be looked at as anything but a home run? He talked about all the different elements beyond the money that were important to him. He mentioned them in the initial interviews with you, the things that he wanted from UFC and other people who were coming to the table that were negotiating points that he wanted to see from a prospective employer slash partner. And PFL seemed to check all of those off. The one that I didn't hear him discuss or see out there yet was in regard to like wider kind of healthcare coverage and things like that. That was one of the points he made. But with him having a seat on this executive board and talking about all the things he's planning to do forward and their investment in him, to me, that feels like an opportunity for him to kind of continue to push for those things and have the representation and be the person in the room being a voice for that. So if you're looking at the list of things that he laid out previously, he pretty much got all of them. If you're looking at did he leave for a lucrative offer and be able to say that he can look himself in the mirror and stuck to the morals and the things that he believed he was standing up for at the time, you have to think that that's a success for him as well. And then from the PFL perspective, the debate that I hate about who's the number two promotion continues to rage on and rage on and rage on. If you're the promotion that signed the biggest free agent in decades, that's probably a good feather in your cap to be able to say, we're making a splash, we're the number two promotion, and step out of the pack. And now it remains to be seen kind of like how they utilize them, what the pay-per-view is going to look like. There's a lot of bridges to cross when we get to them. But right now, day one of signing the contract, it feels like a win for Francis. It feels like a win for the PFL. And quite frankly, it feels like a win for MMA free agents moving forward. Like if you're a big time free agent, if you're a Conor McGregor, if you're a John Jones, if you're an Israel Adesanya or any of these fighters and you come upon free agency, you've now got an example of what other organizations are willing to offer, what sacrifices, what concessions they're willing to make, and your value instantly goes up. So it's up to the fighters. It's up to the future free agents. It's up for people that are in this negotiating position to leverage that. It's up to them to be able to recognize their value and push for it. But Francis Ngannou laid out a blueprint. If you're somebody out there, you can now look to this and say, look at what he got in addition to the money, the concessions that were made, the things that he was able to negotiate for with his leverage. And I can't see this as anything other than a home run for everybody involved right now, right? There's still a lot to be seen, but right now it feels like a win for all parties.
And so again, it's exclusive as far as MMA is concerned. He can do whatever he wants as far as boxing is concerned. And who knows, maybe he does end up linking up with Jake Paul and MVP, but right now he's still a free agent in that world. Seemed like he was two, three fights max. You know, he didn't say the exact number. That's interesting. He's going to be fighting on pay-per-view, not on linear television. chairman of PFL Africa, a seat at the table as far as the fighter advisory board is concerned, and he'll be, as of now, the only active fighter on that board. Minimum of $2 million guarantee, and that's the one that, like, the way that was spun into him being selfish that he was trying, that the one was the best to me. Like, that was spun as a bad thing. $2 million for whomever it is that is going to be fighting him is an insane thing. Own sponsors based on, you know, what their situation is, but a little bit of freedom there. I mean, again, people could say, oh, you know, equity in the number two is like having equity in a triple A. You could spin this whichever way you want, but you go back to the original statements that he made, GC. He said he wanted respect, he wanted freedom, he wanted dignity, he wanted to be a part of something bigger than himself. It feels to me like we're checking off every single box. Now, I can understand Joe Blow sitting at home in Idaho could not give two shits about PFL Africa. I understand he doesn't give two shits about Fighter Advisory Board. I can understand he doesn't give two shits about sponsorship, about minimum pay. He wants to see his cage fighting on Saturday night at Buffalo Wild Wings. That's all he cares about. And in his mind, he is upset that he is not getting John Jones versus Francis Ngannou. I will remind you that of the fights out there for Francis, who's been in the UFC for quite some time, the only mega fight left was John Jones, right? Like, Sergey Pavlovich, as great as he is, isn't a mega fight. Tom Aspinall isn't a mega fight right now. Jelton Almeida isn't a mega fight. These are all fights, and just like with John Jones, there's always going to be fights. This guy obviously wanted something greater. He wanted something bigger. He wanted legacy. He wanted future. He wanted expansion. He wanted the freedom, the dignity, and all that. How you can sit back and say he fumbled, he screwed up, this and that, after hearing all this, is beyond me. Your thoughts on what just transpired, GC?
Well, one thing that you said was, you know, how people have been pointing out how he has had such high demands throughout this and he's never going to get it. It appears that he's gotten that with PFL. It feels like every box has been checked, and he didn't sell himself short on it. And two things that I find so interesting is, one, the PFL Africa thing, and then having a seat on the board. He said that's for life now. He said that's forever. That's potentially setting himself up not just to get paid now, but also for his post-fight career. He could end up having a career very long-term with PFL if things go very well for him. Another thing, that $2 million for his opponent, I was originally bummed all morning seeing that he wasn't going to fight till 2024. There was no opponent. You know, it kind of felt like it took a little bit of the juice away from him. But now that I think about it more, with this $2 million guaranteed for his opponent, I'm inclined to believe that his opponent isn't in the PFL currently. I think that $2 million is going to be able to lure someone else, a big name, an interesting fight, to the PFL. And I mean, I think that's huge. I think those two things are my two biggest takeaways from the deal.
You took the words right out of my mouth the moment he said that. And I was thinking the same. You come out with a splashy thing like it's going to be Francis Ngannou versus so-and-so on this date. People now have something to chew on. And so I felt the same way as you when I saw this all progressing and leading to this announcement today. But then when you hear that and you say, all right, February, because let's be honest, like all the dudes that he mentioned in boxing don't have fights just yet. And who knows how that plays out. And we'll see how it plays out. It might not be the situation that everyone wants from him. But again, I don't know if, like, honestly, I don't think he cares. And what we want may not be what he wants. But the point is, come February, March, we don't know who's going to be available, how many fights people have left, all that. It's all very hush-hush. I mean, even he didn't want to talk about the fights he just signed for goodness sakes. Now, will the UFC, will Bellator, will these companies be, you know, they know what's up. So someone's asking, like, can I get another? They'll understand what's going on, and they don't make it easy to get out of contracts. But when we're assessing the deal now, we have to also take into account, yeah, the dude who he may fight in his debut may not be a free agent right now or a PFL fighter, and that kind of changes a lot. There is a case to be made on the flip side. Hey, go in there, starch some jabroni in PFL. Anyone, build yourself back up again, get the momentum, knock out 60 seconds, 90 seconds, and then go to boxing, as opposed to doing the tougher thing first and then going to MMA where they're paying you all this money. But he has said this man is, if nothing else, like a man of conviction, and he has set his sights on this path and on this sequence of events. Obviously, he is willing to change course. He wanted the boxing announcement first. It didn't go down that way. He's doing things a little differently now. But this is really interesting. And anytime you can have a deal, like I see MMA Fighting posted something where it's, you know, fighters reacting. I can assure you of this. Every single fighter in the world, regardless of who you fight for right now, you are talking to your manager about this today. You are talking to your teammates at the gym today about this, your coaches, your friends, your family. Can I do something like this? Can I set myself up with this? What do you like? It's rare in MMA when there's a deal that is done that is outside of the UFC and that doesn't involve the mega fight, right? It doesn't involve this person versus that. It's just a personal business deal that he did that has the ripple effect that he just created. It's a huge freaking deal. This is one of the biggest moments in the history of the sport, good or bad, regardless of if you think it's good or bad. This is one of the biggest deals in the history of the sport, if not the biggest, in terms of someone outside of the UFC. Obviously, the UFC does massive deals with Conor, Khabib, etc. outside. And then when you talk about the leverage and the equity and the power that he now possesses within that company, it's a big freaking deal.
The one caveat I'll say to that is it has the potential to be, right? If the fighters don't follow Francis's example, if they don't look to this and use this to get that leverage the way you're discussing, then it will go. As an example, right? Conor McGregor, he was able to leverage and force the UFC's hand into letting him box Floyd Mayweather. He was so big, he was able to make this happen. We haven't seen it since, but we've seen the kind of seeds of it, right? Francis wanted to do it. It seemed like maybe there was an opportunity potentially there. You have to be able to act on it. You have to be able to exert that pressure and make that leverage happen. Francis has now created an opportunity for people to take advantage of that. It's going to be up to them to then do it. It's going to be up to them to say, this is what I demand. This is what I want, the same way Francis did. And Francis did it and got what he asked for. He had said many times to you, multiple occasions to others, it's not about the money. It's about these other things. These are the things that are important to me. These are what I want. PFL proactively brought them to him, it sounds like, based on his account. He didn't even have to ask for many of these things. They were bringing them to him, to the table, to court him, clearly wanted him, and was able to get the deal done. So yeah, this could be a massive opportunity for fighters everywhere, as long as they are willing to plant their feet the way Francis Ngannou did and take that stand.
Yeah, and this right here, I think today is a win for him, no doubt. It really is curious to see where it goes. Like, he could end up fighting Jorgen De Castro and Mo Green, and who knows what happens from there, and he can never get a boxing deal done. Or he fights Tyson Fury, and he brings like a Tai Tuivasa over to PFL, and PFL Africa is a huge success. You know, the jury is still out on whether or not it's going to be like a huge success, but I think today, right now, is certainly a win.
Man. I still feel like the Tyson thing is potentially there. Go ahead.
If he fights Tyson Fury and he gets someone else to come to the PFL and UFC Africa is a success, like will be one of the greatest the moves ever. Like, yeah, sorry. Well, I don't know what I just said, but PFL Africa.
You said UFC. Yeah.
My fault. If he fights Tyson Fury, I mean, I don't see how it's not a win. If he fights Tyson Fury and has success with the PFL, even just a marginal amount, then this is a win.
If you isolate this just to the MMA portion and anybody still thinks this was a loss, they were going to think this was a loss regardless. Yes, there was 1,000%. No outcome after leaving the UFC that somebody was going to be like, great, he did it. This hint, the ultimate success, the big paydays, what everybody else is kind of viewing as success that might be a little bit different for Francis Ngannou is that massive boxing payday. That is still an important factor in this, right? Like, he still needs to secure that boxing opponent. He still needs to be able to leverage the momentum that he has right now into that fight. And I think people will grade it more harshly or favorably based on that, right? But this, if anybody thinks that this MMA specific portion is a failure compared to what he had in MMA previously, all they were interested was him re-signing with the UFC so that he could fight John Jones. There wasn't really like an opportunity.
That was it. Yeah. It's not like there's a string of fights.
If today you're saying, oh, wow, he really left the UFC to go to the PFL, you would have said, oh, wow, he really left the UFC to go to Bellator, to ONE Championship, to Bare Knuckle, to any of them. Sure. You would be saying that today. I mean, there wasn't going to be some promotion that came out of nowhere that was going to be bigger than the UFC. Like, if you're saying that today, you were going to say that no matter wherever he went.
And I That's hope right. that... if there's any kind of lesson here, and I think there's a few lessons, you know, maybe we chill on, you know, the referendums and the indictments when it's promoters coming out and telling their sides of stories, right? Like, everyone was so quick. Like, listening to him tell the story of the meeting in LA, and like, Chatri's great to me. I'm not trying to crap on him, but like hearing that side, hearing the side of the David Feldman story as well. But yet everyone was so quick to put out their little tweets with the X's and like, did he screw up? Did he mess up? There's no one left. And talking about indictments, like the fact that Beltor never even made an offer, and with the stories circulating about their future and their ownership and where they may be headed, that to me is a huge, you know, question mark now as well. You know, the folks at Beltor don't like when I compare them to the PFL, but they didn't even make an offer. They didn't even come to the table with something is a little bit surprising considering, you know, the international foothold that they have as well. So a lot of interesting things, I think, were said here today that if you're listening and paying attention to could really shine a light on the current state of the business. Go ahead.
It's not as simple as this, but if you proclaim to be the number two promotion, the biggest free agent in the world is somebody you should be making an offer to. Like, it's not that simple. Obviously, there's other factors involved, right? You talked about some things that could be happening in terms of ownership and management and things like that. But this was a chance to plant a flag, and PFL took it and planted their flag. It's like, really that simple.
Maybe not apples to apples per se, but LeBron James is available in 2010. Everyone takes the meeting with him, right? Everyone tries to take the meeting with him. Even if, you know, times are a little bit, you try to have that face to face. If you're not really going to, you know, engage in that face to face, like what does that say about the state of you, right? At least throw something out there. The way this was all handled in terms of trying to shit on him before it all played out. And that's the same thing with the boxing component. We cannot say it was a success or not a success until we find out what happens here. Just wait to see how the story plays out. And by the way, we can't even say this is a success. Let's wait to see how the PFL thing plays out. What if he injures his knee next week and something happens and he doesn't even make it to the cage, and then who the hell, or what if, who the fuck knows? But to me right now, right this moment, a great day for Francis, a great day for the PFL, a great day for the sport and business of MMA. And again, I'll go back to every fighter on the planet is looking at this and saying, could that be me? Could I get this? Because regardless of what any of them say to you or me or anyone else, they all want the freedom. They all want the power. They all know the window is this small. They all want this. And then something post-fighting and opportunities to have a say and all that, that's what every fighter wants, more so than anything. And the dude freaking bet on himself and made it happen. And when you, again, I'm not going to go through his whole life story, but when you consider where he came from with so little to the point that he's at now, it's pretty fucking remarkable.
And one other thing, this is not the end, right? It's not Francis Ngannou like, okay, this is it. And then the story's written and we're done, right? Like, he could go somewhere else years from now. He could be a full-time boxer years from now. He could be back in the UFC years from now. Like, this was just one step along the journey. This is just one thing that's happening right now. And he's established his home for however long that's going to be, right? He was a little bit cagey in terms of establishing exactly how long it's going to be. But that's not it. Or it could be it as well. But we don't know. There's still so much to unfold. I feel like there's a lot of like rush to finality on this, whether it be judging the deal before it even happened, whether it be now, okay, Francis is in the PFL and that's it, we can cast him off. Well, maybe he's not in the PFL years from now. Maybe he's there for the next 10 years. Who knows? But there's still so much to play out. It feels like the rush to kind of finalize the verdict on all of this stuff, or even like Francis's future, is very short-sighted, is very like social media culture. Everybody just has to have this finished so that they can divert their attention to something else. The next shiny object, let's just move on. Who knows? Francis could be fighting whoever you want him to fight 3 years from now. You don't know where this is going to go.
Two last quick things for me. I love the story about, like, do you ever not get tickets? Do you ever not get, like, that's what some fighters want, right? They want to be there front row in Las Vegas. That's what some fighters want. And his interpretation of that is like, wow, like, you think that's what I'm here for? Free tickets and, you know, access to the PI. Pretty remarkable. And as he said so eloquently, mama does know best sometimes. And so I guess that famous picture of his mom wearing the BFL shirt was was a telltale sign that he would end up there one day. Pretty remarkable stuff. Some unfortunate news to end the day on. We did just get a tweet here from our friend Jessica Rose Clark, who has announced that she is leaving the UFC. Thanks for that, Frank. Frank sending a text to the group chat in the middle of the Francis interview. Appreciate that.
I mean, you're not supposed to be watching your phone right now.
Well, I mean, I'm watching everything, Frank, okay? It's unfortunate, but she says she has some plans for the next step, and she's very excited, and she will announce that soon. So all the best to Jessica Rose Clark. Any final thoughts, Frank, on what we heard today? I mean, I think everyone's been waiting on your take on the Francis situation.
To be honest, the last two notes you hit were my favorites. The, hey, but you can go to any UFC event you want for free. And then the second was, I imagine a world where Francis actually consulted his mom about the PFL. And she was like, yes, son, this is the one.
Yeah, they gave me a free T-shirt.
And she's like, okay, well, I get all this, the guarantee, blah blah blah. But do we get free tickets to PFL events? Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm not really sure. Let me find out.
Oh my God, you know yourself, Frank. You know yourself. There it is. Great insight there from Frank.
It wouldn't be an episode without.
No, it wouldn't. A special Tuesday edition in the books, friends. Thank you very much for stopping by. I hope to check in with you all from beautiful Dublin town. Anything you want me to bring back for you, Frank? Anything you got your – you want some haggis? Do you want some – what would you like?
Bring it all.
A couple cans of the Black Forge Stout.
Oh, yes. Can I bring that over the
I think you can.
The pond?
Yep.
United 1K Premium. I think you can.
Provided you grab the right suitcase when you get here.
Yeah. Oh, that's not very nice. I will look to check that out. And by the way, I know that haggis is a Scottish thing, by the way. Everyone's going to get all upset. Ah, it's not Irish. Black sausage?
Yeah, let's do it.
Is it black sausage? What is it called?
Are you going to partake in one of your like traditional breakfasts on the day, or is it just for MMA that you do that?
I don't know. I guess I got to do something Irish, huh?
Yeah.
Bacon still around?
Irish breakfast. Isn't that a thing?
I can figure it out. A little Irish coffee.
Irish coffee. A little, was it like Bailey's?
Bailey's,
Yeah, we can do that. We can work something out.
We got a few days. Thank you, gents. Appreciate you all very much. Appreciate the crew very much as well, and obviously appreciate Francis Ngannou very much. Very exciting stuff. Appreciate him coming on the program to talk about it all. And that's it. Frank, you can hit my music. Ah, there it is. I thought about it
for a second.
Yeah. And usually you're good these days with that, but you were leaving me kind of, it was like a rebound that was just bouncing. By the way, what do you guys think of my home studio? Do you think that we should just do the show from here all the time? I mean, I used to do the show from here during the pandemic for like 3 years, 2 years. What do you think, Frank?
No. What was with the lawnmower or the vacuum?
Well, some people need their... There wasn't a vacuum, I can assure you of that.
I thought it was an airplane. I'm like, that is the longest airplane I've ever heard.
Was it loud? Was it really loud?
No, just... Obviously, people like to get their, things I listen for.
Their lawns mowed. What can I say?
They should do it at night.
What can I say? I saved the day, I guess. Actually, there's a push to ban like the leaf blowers because they say it makes too much noise during the day.
Yeah, they should be using scissors and a rake.
Yeah. Although I think less people are working from home these days, so I don't.
We don't have this problem in New York City.
That's true. No, I will not make this a habit. It's never the same, but happy to be able to do this for all of you. No show tomorrow, like we said, so we'll be back on Monday to talk about what should be a very memorable weekend in the world of combat sports yet again. And by the way, full episode in the books less than 24 hours ago, featuring the likes of KSI and Cedric Doumbé and Aljamain Sterling in studio as well. So go check that out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Again, thank you so much to Francis Ngannou. Congratulations to both him, his team, his family, and the PFL. Going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. I'm sure we'll be talking about it. Back on Monday, same time and place. Until then, I say, Prosh. I'm out of here.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part
serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.